Hey, welcome, welcome, welcome. You are at Kingdom Life Church. You are at the right place. Thank you for hanging out with me today. Listen, you see the room is empty, but we're not empty today. We're going live today. We're having a service here in about 45 minutes. I needed to come in here. And for those who weren't able to make it with us live and in person, I wanted to make sure I gave you this word today. We didn't want to leave you out. It was important that what the Lord gave me, I wanted to give to you. So I pray that this word bless you. I know it will. I know it will, because he's given me a word to give to you. So I want to give it to you. I want to bless you. But listen, before I get started, we're at 125 North Hilton Street today. Listen, if you're in the area and you're getting this, listen, come check us out. We're starting at 12. Come on. If you can get here at 12. This is when we're doing it. It's at 125 North Hilton Street. If you can't make it, don't worry. Listen, I have a word for you. Before I get started, I want to give honor to our pastor, Pastor Michael Phillips. God has opened up the door for him. And, oh, God is just blessing his socks off, right? And so we couldn't be so proud, more proud of what he's doing and what the Lord is doing for him. We also want to give honor to our First Lady, Dr. Anita Phillips. God has blessed her, has taken the ministry global, how she has been instrumental in mental health. And so we want to make sure that we're constantly praying and supporting her and all that the Lord is opening up for her. But I'm telling you something, God has a word for you. All right, I'm going to show you how he's blessing us while we're here and while we remain. So I want to bless this house today. God has given me a message. It is a I need you to survive series. I need you to survive series. And I want to bless you right now. All right. So listen, wherever you are, whether you got your coffee, whether you're in the car or whatever the case may be, just lend me your ears and your heart so the Lord can bless you. Real quick, let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you. We honor you. We glorify you in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for what you're doing today. Lord, how the people who are coming back to church today, we're able to fellowship. And those that aren't able to come, God, we want to bless them and touch them today. Lord, wherever they are right now, God, because they couldn't make it today, whatever the case may be, I pray that this word resonates with them where they are. So in the future, Lord, it may quicken them to come meet us once again, that we won't allow restriction to restrict us from giving you the glory. God, I thank you, and we give you all the praise and honor, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, in 1996, there was a new movie out called Independence Day. Y'all remember that? Look, this movie was about an alien invasion seeking to destroy the entire planet. Right? And the alien ships had already destroyed major cities and was on a mission to destroy the entire world. All of the people and nations of the earth worked together and fired our best weapons at the alien spaceships. But our weapons were of no effect because all of the alien ships were protected by an invisible force field. There was a moment in the movie where one of the scientists figured out a way to break through their force fields. But there was only a small window of time to do as much damage to their spaceships until their destroyer destroyed more major cities. And as the world's fighter pilots target in on the alien destroyer ship, all of the fighter pilots were out of missiles and ammunition, except for one fighter pilot. Hear me. He had one missile and one target. But when he pressed the weapon launch, the missile would not activate. His weapon was jammed, and he could not fire his missile. Mankind needed that missile to take out this alien destroyer ship. But his weapon was jammed. It didn't work. What happens next in this movie is what led me to this text of scripture. that I'll be reading for you today. If you have your Bibles, if you have your phone, you have your Bibles, but I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 13. I'll be reading it from the NIV, but I'm so excited because I hope our editing team will have it up here for you now. The Bible reads here, it says, "The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow, I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands.' So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other side, and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword." That was Exodus chapter 17, verses 13, 17 verses 8 through 13 in the NIV. Understand this, family. When we are attacked, our position can be compromised. But when we work together to maintain our position, we will always prevail. You hear what I just said? I said, when we are attacked, our position can be compromised. But when we work together to maintain our position, we will always prevail. Today, I want to talk to you about what happens when the weapon that God gave you doesn't work, especially when you need it the most. Do you hear what I'm saying? You have this weapon, but the strongholds in your life are still strongholds. Who am I talking to, right? The attacks on your life are getting worse. This pandemic, the restrictions, the uncertainty. When we gonna get things back to normal, right? Your mind is under attack. Your body is under attack. Your family is under attack. And the weapon that God gave you doesn't seem to be working. If this is you, I want to preach to you for a few moments about what you should do if your weapon gets jammed up. That's right. If your weapon stops working, if it ceases from working. Oh, that weapon got jammed up. Hallelujah. A weapon, in the Webster Dictionary, a weapon is a tool used to gain an advantage or defending oneself in a conflict. Right? Or even in a contest. So if I'm in a conflict and trying to defend myself or the people I love and I'm at a disadvantage, I need one of these weapons. I need one, right? Let me share something with you. In the Old Testament of the Bible, the prophet Moses, who was a shepherd, would use a rod and a staff. He would use the staff as his primary weapon. As a weapon, he would fight off and defend his sheep by using his weapon. He would fight them off by using this staff. And what he would be fighting off is animals or wild animals or thieves or anything that would try to attack his sheep. Watch this, the staff. When God requested that Moses lead the children of Israel out of Egypt in order for the Egyptians to believe that God had been with Moses, God told Moses to throw his staff on the ground. And it turned into a snake. Oh, somebody say, this is my weapon. This is my weapon. God will use your weapon to perform his miracles and power. This is why King David says in the book of Psalms, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Come on. David is inferring that God is his shepherd, because shepherds use rods and staffs to protect the sheep. The rod and staff are metaphors for God's power and his protection. It is his weapon. So as a believer, what is your weapon? How do you fight off things that are attacking your mind, that are attacking your family, that are attacking your marriage, that are attacking your children, that is attacking your focus, that is attacking your money, that is attacking this ministry? What is your weapon? And I'm here to tell somebody. I'm here to tell somebody. You are the weapon. You are that staff that God performs his miracles through. You are the staff. You are the weapon that God performs his power through, his protection through. You are that weapon that Jesus will perform many signs and wonders through. You are the weapon that when people from your past see you, they see a miracle. You are the weapon. You are the weapon that today when people look at you strange, like it's something about you. You know that only God made it possible. You are the weapon that when you are battling with faith and you look back over your life and you see the times and times that God could and should have left you for dead, but he continued to use you as his secret weapon. You are the weapon. You are the weapon. You are the weapon. Listen, whoever you are online right now, I need you to touch somebody, text somebody or whatever, and let them know you are the weapon. Do it right now. Put it in the chat. Text it. You are the weapon, because I don't want you to forget this. Yes, you are his staff. You are his rod. Hallelujah. You are the weapon. Hallelujah. Now, as a weapon, we have to know how to effectively use the power of our weapon. Yeah, it's what good is it for you to be a weapon? You don't know how to use it, right? I want to insert, for the sake of this message, the word power position. You got to know how to work your weapon, so you got to learn how to get in the position. So I want to insert the word power position. Power position is when you are in a posture of prayer and praise. That is your power position. Prayer and praise are both forms of communication with God. Prayer is having a two-way conversation with God. Usually you're asking questions, making requests, and you're listening, right? So yes, a part of prayer is being quiet, shh, and being still. Hallelujah. That is a part of your power position, because when you're being still, you're knowing. You know that he's able. That it's a two-way conversation. That's the power position. But praise is when we are rooted for God. Come on, God. Yes, go, God. Right. Blaming God for all the good that he has done. Hallelujah. Praise is when we verbally and non-verbally celebrate God, right? That's the praise. So with prayer, one is a one-way conversation, as a two-way conversation back and forth. And then the other one, which is praise, is us rooting and celebrating God. But whether you are doing one or the other, you're in the power position. Come on, somebody, in the power position. We bless folks in our power position. We defend ourselves in our power position. We loose things. We bind things. We cast things out. We're able to forgive people and forgive ourselves in the power position. This is why the Apostle Paul says, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. It's not carnal. It's not fleshly, right? But it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and everything that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We do this. We're able to have this power, and we're able to do these things in our power position. But understand this, the tension of all of this is that the enemy thrives when we as believers don't invest time in our power position. He's hoping we get impatient, you get bored, he's hoping you get inconsistent, because when we don't invest time in our power position, the enemy gets victory. He gets victory. He wins. Yet, what is he winning? He gets the victory in our communities. He gets the victory in our schools. He gets the victory in the government. He gets victory in your homes. He gets the victory in your relationships, in your marriage. He gets the victory over your children. He gets the victory over all your hopes and your dreams. Our weapon can get jammed up when we don't spend time in our power position. Come on. This thing is so, listen, our power position, prayer and praise, is so serious. Watch this. In the book of Daniel, the prophet Daniel was praying. He was in his power position, and he had fasted certain foods. And in a vision and in a dream, the angel Gabriel touched him and told him his prayers were heard. They heard him. The moment he was in his power position, he was heard. And the message, the answer was on the way. But it was withheld for 21 days by the prince of Persia. Yeah, the message that he was looking for, the word, the blessing he was looking for, was held up, right? And Gabriel's telling him that the archangel came to help him, came to help Gabriel deliver this message and enable this message to get to Daniel. That's right. So the angel, Gabriel, had to wait for help in order to get the message through. So even when you are doing what you know to do, your blessings can still be held up. This is why we should never give up on what God promised you. You never know the blessings that is fighting its way to get to you. Some of us right now have blessings that are still stuck up there. And it's going to stay there until you find time to invest in your power position. Come on, somebody. I dare somebody to expedite your blessing that the enemy has been blocking for months, some of y'all years, by getting into your power position and shouting it out and shouting it down right now in the name of Jesus. You're going to give me what belongs to me. That belongs to me, and you're going to give it to me right now. Listen, if I dare five of you to praise the Lord right now, like something is wrong with you, so that your blessing will be expedited right now. Come on, somebody. Come on. Come on, I'm going to give you a moment. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to get what belongs to me. Yes, indeed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. I want mine today. Oh, that thing been held up for years, but I want mine today. And all I got to do is get in my power position. Oh, use your weapon, somebody. Come on. Come on. In this particular text that we used, the Amalekites is waging war on the children of Israel. And this is the perfect time, because a smart enemy will attack you at the most weak and vulnerable moments. Like, Like when you are late for work and caught in traffic and the car next to you won't let you over. You know what I'm saying? When you're in your weak moments, like when you're on that diet and you're on a diet and you're trying to lose weight, and you're trying to get in shape, but your coworker's bringing your favorite sweets. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. When you're going to a restaurant and you're starving, you're starving and you're at a restaurant and they give you the worst customer service and you're trying to figure out when your food coming out. At the weak moments, it's like when you jam your toe on something hard and the first words that come out of your mouth is not Jesus is Lord, right? Or it's like when you had a bad argument with your significant other, with your spouse, and your friends who don't like them offer you unhealthy advice, unhealthy solutions. Come on, a smart enemy will attack you when you are weak. The enemy loves it when he can have his foot on your neck when you are weak. But I come to tell somebody, don't wallow in your weakness, because we all got them. Don't wallow in them, for we have a high priest who is able to empathize with our weaknesses. One who has been tempted in every way on all sides, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Oh, come on. I remember Apostle Paul saying his grace is sufficient for you, for his power is made perfect in our weakness. That is why, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Then I am strong. Don't wallow in your weakness. Understand, there is hope in your weakness. Oh, there is hope in your weakness. This is how we get strong. So Moses goes to his chief warrior. Oh, this army is waging war on the Israelites. So Moses goes to his chief warrior, Joshua, the son of Nun, to pick out his finest warriors to go into battle against this enemy, against this Amalekite army, right? And Moses says, tomorrow I'll go to the top of the mountain to lift up my weapon, power position. I'll do that tomorrow. And what's interesting here is that Moses instructs Joshua to pick out men and go into the war a day before he uses his weapon, before he goes into his power position. Come on, somebody. God is so good. The name Joshua in the Hebrew is Yeshua. Come on, I already got somebody. Right? Which means God is our salvation. So when you translate that from the Hebrew to the Latin, or excuse me, from Hebrew to the Greek, from the Greek into English, we get the name Jesus. Hallelujah. So before you go into your power position to use your weapon, Jesus is already fighting a day earlier than when you fight. Moses says, look, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm not gonna worry about that thing now because I know you got it. I'm gonna get into my position tomorrow. Jesus is fighting your battles before you even think about them. He is praying the Father that your faith fails you not. So Moses instructs Joshua and his selected men to go and fight while Moses is like, this is too much for me to worry about today. I'm going to go weapon up tomorrow. The battle is not ours. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. And we have a God whose name is purpose to deliver us. So the next day, Moses is on the top of this mountain with his two companions. This is really important that you get this. He's on the mountain with his two companions, Aaron and Hur. That's the names, Aaron and Hur. He's got two companions. And Moses lifts up his weapon. And while he's in his weapon position, his hands are lifted. And Joshua and his army is prevailing because he's in his power position. I know I'm blessing somebody right now. Because he's in his power position, those who are out there fighting for you are prevailing. But when his hands come down, the enemy prevails. See, in this story, Moses' arm, his arms gets tired. And the enemy, the Amalekites, are getting the advantage over Joshua and the Israel and the men of Israel. Come on. What happens when the things in your life become too heavy? Like the unimaginable things that they did to me. Or, come on, somebody did something that's unimaginable to you. What do you do when life gets heavy? That you're still hurting and you're still grieving from losing that loved one. What do you do when things in your life get heavy, when you just lost the custody battle and you can't see your kids? Or you know you're a Christian, you know you say, but you're caught up in this perpetual cycle. Or you're somebody that is still embarrassed because of that situation, that decision that you made. You are the weapon. I guess you are the weapon. But you get fatigued and irritable to get into your position, to get into that posture. Come on, somebody. I don't have the patience to get into this power position. I need to figure this out on my own. I know what I got to do. Power position? I feel like I'm talking to a wall anyway when I go down and pray. Come on, somebody. Who am I talking to? I've been praying for this thing for years, for months, and nothing's happening. Power position? And Moses, his arms are tired and fatigued. And because his arms are tired and he gets out of position, his army, those that are waging the war, winning the war, his army now is losing and they're being slain because his arms are not conditioned. In the power position. He's tired. He's fatigued. Come on, somebody. Help me out here. Do you care that people are counting on your weapon? Do you even care? Do you even care that there are actual people who are watching and believing God through you? Do you care that the people you are responsible for are suffering? Do you care that the enemy is advancing and destroying everything in your life because you don't feel like getting in the power position? Come on. Jesus cares so much that as we speak right now, he's praying to the Father that your faith fails you not, that your faith never fails. He's in his power position. Come on. Think. Moses, arms are fatigued. He's not conditioned, but he's accompanied by two companions. Oh, here it comes. And Moses never asked for help. And he got his homeboys, he got his friends, he got his companions, those that are right there with him. And he never asked for help. Why would you be willing to lose it all just to avoid asking for help? Losing it all just because you don't want to ask for help. I get it. Some of us are used to just doing it all alone and just don't want to deal with other people. Some of us have been hurt in the past and would rather not feel rejected. Some of us don't like to share or even share our accomplishments with others, whether we fail or whether we win. Some of us are too private and would rather no one know anything about them. You don't want nobody in your business. So the enemy is slaying the Israelites, killing them all up. You're losing. You're behind. And the enemy is destroying the things you are responsible for. And Aaron and her, the companions, are watching Moses, just watching it, watching him struggle to stay in his power position. And for some of, and for some people, this is their moment. Oh man, this is their moment to see the person who gets all the attention, the person that gets all the accolades, that person that gets all the glory. This is a great opportunity for us to watch him crumble. You hear what I'm saying? There are people who are laying in wait to see you fall on your face. I got them, and so do you. And listen, they call themselves your friends. Come on, right? And the truth is, this doesn't make the man or woman of God look bad. Come on. When a man or woman of God is struggling, it makes the whole body look bad. It makes God look bad. That's right. You celebrating their demise, they're part of the body. This is why we must support our fellow believers, our leaders. We must pray for them. We got to root for them. Come on, somebody. We got to thank God for them. Because if they go down, we are all affected, because we are all a part of this body, of this body. But Aaron and her are Moses's companions. A companion is someone who is available in the time of battle. Come on, somebody. I know somebody. I know you got companions that are, listen, I'm not saying don't just know any friends. I'm talking about folks that are about it. They are with you, especially when it's time for battle. Huh? When you are down, a companion, they pick you up. When you are tired, they hold you up. When you are broken, they build you up. These, listen to what I'm saying to you. Write this down. These are your companions. These are not just friends. Companions are people who spend time with you. Yeah. Especially in times of battle. And they celebrate with you. Oh, man. Come on. Come on. And they celebrate with you when you're celebrating. And they're down with you when you're down. But when it's time for battle, oh, they mount up. And Aaron and Hur grabs Moses' hands and lifts his hands in the power position. And the Israelites begin to turn the thing all around. They begin to start winning. And Moses' companions lays a stone underneath him so he's able to sit. Come on. A rock. Something solid. Something that he can stand on. Something that he can lean on. Something that he can believe on. Come on, somebody. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Come on. Something strong. I will build my church, and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's nothing like a companion giving you something you can believe in when you're weak, when you're fatigued, when you're tired, when you're ready to give up. Something solid you can stand on. And this goes on all day until the enemy is completely wiped out. They did it together until the battle was finished. This is why it is important to discover your companions who are bold enough to hold you up in your power position while you're in the battle. We can't do this thing alone. We can't do it alone. We can't do this alone. But this is how we get out of the jam. This is how you get your weapon out of a jammed situation. It's with the help of our companions. helping to place us in our power position. Hallelujah. When Jesus was on his way to sacrifice his life for your life, Jesus got tired and fatigued, and they messed up. They went and messed up. they went and nailed Jesus into his power position. Hallelujah. That's right. They stretched his hands up high while his head hung low, and the nails kept him balanced. The nails never wavered. The nails took some of the weight. Come on. It was the nails that was his companions. It was the nails that held him up. It was the nails that placed him in his fixed power position. The nails were his companions. Your companions are like these nails. Yes. Hallelujah. This is how you're going to get out of your jam. Can I go deeper? Because you already got the message. It's going to be your companions that get you out of your jam. But can I go deeper? When Moses held up his weapon, he never said a word while he was in his power position. He never opened up his mouth. Because when God has already spoken, I feel this. When God has spoken over your life, all you have to do is to be in your power position. And just believe him. Hallelujah. All you got to do. He's already spoken. You ain't got to say a word. His word, God, the word that God's spoken over your life cannot return unto him void. And the Spirit will make intercession for you with moaning that cannot be uttered. You don't got to say a word. You don't have to say a word. And Jesus, when they begged and mocked him to come off the cross, he didn't say nothing either. The last words Jesus said while he was in his power position is, "It's finished." It's finished. So he did that so that the first thing we say when we get into our power position, come on, somebody, is what? Y'all talk back to me. What's the first thing we say when we get in our power position is, "It's finished. It's finished. It's finished." Will you get into your power position with me as I close? Get in your power position. Come on. And while you're in that power position, I want to give you some instructions for this week. You might not have or know that you have a companion, but I'm asking you, as we pray, we're going to pray that God shows you who your companions are, or who your one companion is. And I want you to find them. And when you find whoever that person is, I need you to pray with them every day this week until next Sunday, because I'm going to have a word for you then. Will you do that, saints? Whether you are a member of this ministry or whether you're just viewing in, will you do that? I want to help deliver what God is trying to do in your life. Will you pray with me? Father, here we are. We are in our power position, just like you told us to be, so that the army that is fighting on our behalf can prevail against the enemy that is trying to wage victory against us. God, I pray that this has blessed the hearts and minds of your people, that we understand that there are times where our prayer seems jammed up. It seems stuck. But Lord, would you help us to identify and give us the courage to ask for the help that we need so that we can receive everything, every message, every word, everything that you have stored up for us. God, we thank you. We glorify you for this word. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Family, will you be our companions? This ministry is doing amazing things. We are truly a church without walls. You may hear that in other spots, in other places, but I'm telling you, we have the people and we have the lifestyle, and we're not just doing it in here. We are doing it out there, but we need your support. Will you be our companions? Will you hold us up? Will you keep our posture up? Will you keep us in position?